Hello, and welcome to this new show called Ayurveda, the Science of Life, on UK Health Radio. My name is Dr. Oscar Adukon. I'm working as an Ayurvedic practitioner in Belfast, Northern Ireland, following a career working as a GP, family doctor, throughout the UK and Ireland. In this show, I will introduce the listener to the ancient system of medicine known as Ayurveda, which is still in use today and growing in popularity worldwide. I will explain the origins and principles of Ayurveda and give clear, simple, understandable explanations for how it can work in our modern lives. I will discuss how Ayurveda can connect us to our own nature, as well as the wider world of nature around us. We are all part of nature and need to restore these connections in our daily lives. I will interview like-minded therapists and health experts to discuss their approach to health and wellness and how it connects with Ayurveda. This show aims to reflect the growing move away from the narrow confines of conventional medicine to a deeper, more holistic and personalized view of health and wellness. Ayurveda is a nature-based system which uses food, simple herbal remedies, daily practices, and herbal-based medications to achieve balance of body and mind. So much of the root cause of illness today are caused by our digestion and lifestyle. Ayurveda teaches us that everything we do in our lives has an effect upon our well-being and health. On this show, I hope to teach you and show you how learning about Ayurveda will benefit you and your health now and into the future. So, welcome to today's show, which is all about Ayurveda and its role in the Western world. So, this is the story of Ayurveda in the Western world, its past, its present, and I'll be discussing the exciting future that's ahead for Ayurveda. So welcome again to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. If you're a listener who's passionate about wellness and natural health, integrative care, you've come to the right place. So today, we're going to take a deep dive into Ayurveda, a 5,000-year-old healing system from India that's rapidly gaining popularity in the West. We'll explore how Ayurveda has grown in popularity and its role in our modern health and how it's increasingly being integrated or combined with conventional Western medicine. On the show today, I'll cover the origins of Ayurveda and its core principles, its journey into the West from a historical perspective, the growth of what's called integrative medicine, where Ayurveda is combined with conventional medicine in hospitals and clinics and health centers. I'll discuss the synergy or the place where Ayurveda and conventional medicine work well together and the unique role that Ayurveda has in chronic disease and preventative healthcare. I finished then by describing some modern research that I've discussed in previous shows that has been done on Ayurvedic practices and herbal medications. And finally, the challenges that Ayurveda faces in its integration into the West or its spread into the West. So I hope you enjoy the show. You haven't heard of Ayurveda before. It's certainly worth taking some time to listen to what we're going to discuss today. If you've heard about Ayurveda before, it's also hopefully will be of interest to you. Now, Ayurveda, as I've said before many times, Ayurveda translates to the science of life. It's a compound word, Ayu being life and Veda being science, Sanskrit. And it's an ancient system of medicine that dates back to 5,000 years. And it originates in what we now know as the Indian subcontinent, part of Southeast Asia. And it developed from the Vedic text of the Hindu religion into a fully functioning and a complete system of medicine and what we now talk and call wellness. It's a holistic, comprehensive approach to living a balanced and healthy life, focusing on the body, mind, and spirit. It emphasizes individualized care, treating the person and not just the disease. And it seeks to address the root causes
rather than just the symptoms themselves. So it's not only a system of medicine, it is a way of living a healthy life into our older decades, into old age. So how did this ancient healing system find its way into the modern scientifically driven world of Western healthcare? And how is it working alongside conventional medicine to create an integrated, holistic approach to health? These are the questions that are very interesting now, and this is what Ayurveda has a unique role vis-a-vis other forms of say, alternative or complementary to medicine. Phrase I don't like using very much, but it's so much, it's in the common usage. So Ayurveda is described in this group of traditional systems of medicine. Well, hopefully during this show, you'll start to understand more about Ayurveda, its journey into the West, some of the key principles that underlie its teachings, and the exciting future that it has ahead for this ancient system in this modern world. So a brief recap on Ayurveda, its origins, and the core principles. Let's take a quick look at the roots of Ayurveda. It's one of the oldest medical systems in the world, originating to 3,000 to 5,000 years ago. It's deeply rooted in the spiritual and the philosophical traditions of these Vedic texts that are the basis of the Hindu religion. And the word, as I've said before, means the science of life. And in Ayurveda, the ultimate goal is to maintain balance and harmony within the body and between the individual and and his environment or nature in general. And this is done by understanding the unique balance of the three doshas of Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. These doshas or energies, they govern the physical and mental constitution of each of us as individuals. And these doshas represent the natural elements of air, fire, earth, space and water, and they have corresponding functions in the body depending on these elements. And when these energies or these elements as manifested in these energies are out of balance, the body suffers illness and disease. When they are in balance, the body remains healthy. And this is the core principle of Ayurveda. So unlike Western medicine, which often focuses on physical symptoms and treats them in a compartmentalized way, that you become unwell, we're going to treat your symptoms and as much of the disease as we can. Ayurveda takes a more holistic or a whole person view of an illness as it manifests in each of us. It considers the person as a whole, including their lifestyle, their emotional state, their relationships, their diet and environment, and also integrates the mental and spiritual well-being practices into the healing processes. And they offer treatments that are aligned to each person's unique individual needs. So this is a brief recap of the core principles of Ayurveda. Moving on to Ayurveda's journey into the West from a historical perspective is an interesting discussion. It didn't appear overnight in the West. We could go back thousands of years to have it spread into Persia, into the Greek culture, and further into the Roman culture in terms of the spices and herbs that were the understanding of these spices and herbs that was passed on. But more recently, in our modern history, The most significant wave of interest began in the late 19th century with the arrival of Indian spiritual teachers such as Swami Vivekananda and Yogananda, who traveled to the United States primarily to share their teachings. They were celebrities of their time and spreading this teaching of Eastern philosophies. And they gave speeches. Particularly, Swami Vivekananda gave a speech in 1893 in Chicago, which sparked huge amount of interest in these Vedic philosophies and this concept of holistic living, which is an integral part of Ayurveda. And people became curious about this system of medicine and this way of living. But W.B. Yeats, the famous poet and scholar, a fellow Irishman, was one such well-known person who developed a fascination with all things Eastern, specifically the Vedas and Hinduism. But later in the 20th century, the counterculture movement in the 60s and 70s sparked a re-interest in things such as transcendental meditation, classical or traditional Chinese medicine, and Ayurveda was also a part of that focus of interest on Eastern philosophies and Eastern systems of well-being and of medicine, traditional medicine. And this is partly because of a disillusion that was happening in society around that time, particularly in the United States. They sought more holistic alternatives. Yoga, meditation, and Ayurveda became prominent practices or systems of health that were looked towards in order to improve our physical and our mental well-being. There may be another way, rather than strictly sticking to or conventional medicine to solve all our woes and illnesses. But it was really in the 1990s that Ayurveda started to gain real traction in the West. There was a growing interest at that time in wellness and natural health, and combining a number of studies on the benefits of Ayurvedic herbs and treatments made Ayurveda more accessible to the general public. And Ayurvedic centers started to pop up, particularly in the United States and big cities, where holistic practitioners were encouraged to incorporate Ayurvedic principles into their practices. The concept of was having a natural balance to prevent illness. The use of plant-sourced herbal medications and remedies and supplements and medications. The focus on lifestyle practices to reduce stress and develop an inner resilience to boost our natural immunity. These concepts and practices all stem from Ayurvedic teachings. And that as our focus came more on natural and preventative healthcare solutions for the illness, the modern illness we were suffering, Ayurveda's popularity naturally grew because it seemed to provide answers in these areas, particularly in the preventative field. And this led to the growth of what's called integrative medicine, where different types of medicine, different systems of medicine work together for the benefit of the patient. It combines the best of conventional Western medicine with alternative or complementary therapies such as Ayurveda, acupuncture and chiropractic, osteopath, Chinese medicine, and so on. This integrated approach looks at treating the whole person, the body, the mind, and the spirit, rather than just focusing on symptoms of a disease. And this is how Ayurveda has become more popular in the West, in the United States initially, and also in many countries in Europe. It has a crucial role to play in reducing this burden of chronic illness, chronic diseases such as heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune conditions, which are so common these days. Ayurvedic approach, it's holistic, but it focuses on this concept of a mind and body balance, on personalized treatment, on lifestyle modifications that can be implemented, and it complements conventional treatments, which can sometimes fall short of these areas when they're so driven to treat the disorder, specific disorder, and the illness itself, the symptoms that the patient's experiencing. So I'll take a short break and come back and give some examples of where Ayurvedic medicine and conventional medicines dovetail together, or they're synergistic, or their approaches is by using both systems that it can obtain better results. So see you back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the show, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. And on today's show, I'm discussing the story of Ayurveda in the Western world, its past, its present, and the challenges it faces moving forward into the future. And in the first part of the show, I discussed the origins of Ayurveda and some of the core principles of Ayurveda. I also discussed the Ayurveda's journey into the West, particularly from the 19th century onwards and in the late 60s and 70s of the 20th century and into the 1990s when it really started to explode into public awareness in the United States and in Europe, and discussed the concept of integrative medicine, where Ayurveda in particular is uniquely suited to working alongside conventional medicine and been able to support patients in a holistic or a whole person way alongside the more, say, cutting edge treatments of conventional medicine. So there is a particular synergy or a particular benefit when you use both systems together for treating patients, particularly with complicated chronic disorders. And this is where Ayurveda is really coming into its own, over and above, say, other complementary or alternative treatments, because it's such an established ancient system, complete system of medicine, which I feel in many ways our current conventional medicine that we know of today has developed from over thousands of years. So in this part of the show, I will discuss a little bit more detail about how does Ayurveda actually work alongside conventional medicine by giving some examples of disease conditions where it has worked particularly well, and how these two systems of care, who on a brief look, different philosophies and different treats approaches, it's sometimes on the surface difficult to imagine how they can come together to work for the benefit of the patient. But the beauty of this integrated care model, which is now established in the US, particularly in many centers, is that it gives this recognition that there's no one size fits all with health. But conventional medicine can excel at diagnosing and treating particularly acute illnesses and doing advanced surgeries
and using, you know, new, I say cutting edge technologies for it, molecular biology or targeted treatments for specific conditions. And these are all developing over time. But it doesn't always address the root causes of chronic conditions, which are maybe lifestyle or emotional or stress, relationship or diet, and or other environmental factors which may be contributing to the onset of disease and illness. And this is where Ayurveda can step in and offer that ancient wisdom to help deal with other factors that may be involved in the development of disease. But moreover, using an Ayurvedic approach can build a person's resilience and immunity and strength and energy to cope with maybe a difficult and disabling disease. And these are some examples of the how it can work with conventional medicine in the area of chronic pain management. Now, conventional drugs, and this is a condition I would see so much as a GP in the last decade, particularly of this patients who suffer from chronic pain of one sort or another. It could be a pain related to the nervous system, a pain related to the musculoskeletal system, and there was just you'd have to refer patients to specific pain treatments because the management of patients with complex pain was so complicated for a general practitioner, and with the range of different medications that could be used, and such as opioids. These are strong painkillers that are related to the morphine and opium. They're similar to them, but weaker in their effects. But not as addictive. Anti-inflammatory drugs, other types of painkillers in Europe for neuropathic or specifically difficult pain conditions. And they can offer relief, but they don't always address the underlying cause. But Ayurveda offers natural treatments, natural herbal-based treatments, such as ashwagandha, turmeric, also treatment using massage, Abhyanga with medicated oils. I'm also advocating and promoting the use of yoga to help with reduce pain and inflammation within a person's system and improve mobility, which is the which can be hampered by chronic pain, and to do this in a way that's sustainable and manageable for the patient. Achievable, they say. And not only managing the symptoms, as I said before, but helping you cope with the wider effects of an illness that will have an impact on your day-to-day life. Secondly, in the area of cancer care, Ayurvedic principles can complement cancer treatment by supporting the immune system and helping reduce the side effects that can occur with, say, aggressive treatments like chemotherapy, symptoms such as nausea or fatigue, are very amenable to treatment with Ayurvedic herbal medications. And I'm just generally improving a person's overall quality of life. And we know chemotherapy is life-saving in many instances. But Ayurveda can also, if used alongside Ayurvedic approaches, it can help with emotional support and stress reduction at this most critical time patients are under immense pressure and stress. In the area of mental health, which is a huge issue these days, it's becoming such a big problem worldwide. Conventional medicine treats health issues like depression and anxiety with medications primarily, also with counseling, but due to the difficulties accessing this because it's such a heavy cost service, this therapy and counseling and medications often tend to be the first line. But they don't always address the root causes. And Ayurveda, with its got a massive toolkit for helping practices such as pranayama, which is a breathing exercise, focused breathing exercises that have been used in Ayurveda for thousands of years, and the role of meditation, focused meditation, and the use of herbs like Brahmi and ashwagandha, These have beneficial effect on the nervous system and can help people through difficult times in their mental health and support them emotionally as well. So by integrating these practices with conventional medicine, we can have a more whole person approach where you're dealing with their physical, their mental and their emotional issues all at the same time. And this leads me on to discuss the role, the unique position Ayurveda is in being able to help with chronic disease and preventative care, which we hear so much about these days. And this is where conventional medicine often will struggle. I've seen it myself in the practice before. And we rely on public health measures really that are dictated from the top down, which don't always apply to everybody. They don't always work, for instance. They do work in some situations, for instance, the smoking ban, but they often can not filter down at an individual level. So this concept of individual preventative care is where Ayurveda is such a for such experience, and it's part of the principles and teachings of Ayurveda. And we're seeing an increasing number of chronic diseases, heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disease, mental health conditions like depression, anxiety. These are on the rise all over the Western world. And we're struggling to keep on top of them with conventional treatments, coming up with new medicines, new treatments. There's less new treatments coming online. And they don't always, as I say, deal with the root issues, the root problems, and give support to the patient in a more holistic way. But these are some ways that Ayurveda can help for the management of chronic diseases and preventative care. First and foremost, in our diet, Ayurveda teaches that there are specific diets based on an individual's dosha or body constitution. If someone has a pitta constitution, prone to inflammation or digestive issues of the upper gut, then the general advice should be to eat cooling foods, such as cucumbers or leafy greens, and using herbs such as coriander and fennel in remedies and in cooking to balance this excessive fire element in the body, which can cause a pitta imbalance. So this is just one example, but there are many other examples affecting the other doshas or combinations of doshas, where Ayurveda can use the diet and advice about the diet to help address heavy imbalances. Using a lifestyle-focused approach as well, and Ayurveda teaches the idea of having a daily routine to maintain balance in your habits and your practices and in your life. And this includes early rising, practicing yoga or meditation early in the day, eating meals of regular times, and building in enough and partnering in enough good sleep time routines and durations, of course. And these are simple, but they're effective and they're proven lifestyle practices that can help support a person's just their natural balance and rhythm, and reduce the likelihood of suffering from stress-induced illnesses or stress-related illnesses. Another way that Ayurveda can help is in the concept that's been used in Ayurveda of detoxification, or the process of pancha karma. The pancha is the Sanskrit word for five, and the karma is the word for actions. So it means five different types of actions that can be used for detoxification. And it's the idea behind this is to remove any residual toxins in the body that have developed or accumulated over time. These treatments like oil massage, steam therapy, herbal enemas, and nasal cleansing, to name but a few. So in our modern diet, with eating more and more processed foods, we're becoming more aware these are causing us harm on a whole physical level and on a cellular level as well. And they may be pro-inflammatory, they may increase levels of stress within our tissues. So the panchakarma idea, this idea of regular detoxification to keep on top of this, is a practice that's been used in Ayurveda for thousands of years. And it helps improve our digestion, strengthen our immunity, and support our long-term health if we can do these on a regular basis. And of course, the big area of stress management. And we know stress is at the root cause of many, many chronic conditions, including hypertension, sleep disorders, digestive disorders, and mental health issues, problems such as anxiety. So Ayurveda has a holistic approach to managing stress by combining, it's like a multifaceted, I compare it to a toolkit. You dip into the toolkit and pick out the tool you need for dealing with the issues and problems you have. Usually diet, lifestyle, yoga, meditation, and even herbal remedies that you can use, your simple herbal remedies. With the advice of an Ayurvedic practitioner, you can incorporate into your daily routines. So these are just some of the ways that Ayurveda is uniquely placed, or it has a unique opportunities and possibilities for it to be used alongside conventional medicine or as a system of medicine of its own to help us in an individual way in the preventative help model. So you're trying to prevent illness and promote well-being rather than wait to become ill and then seek treatment. So I'll take a short break now because I've covered quite a bit there in terms of integrative medicine of Ayurveda and conventional medicine and Ayurveda and its role in its possibilities and its use already in managing chronic health disorders that we suffer from today and been able to help us prevent illness in the future. And I'll come back and finish on the last section of the show talking about some of the modern research findings that are associated with Ayurvedic practices and medications and the challenges that Ayurveda faces moving forward in its role in the West. So we'll see you back in a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the last part of the show today, Ayurveda, the Science of Life. And on today's show, I've been talking about the story of Ayurveda in the West. It's past, it's present, and it's exciting future that it has ahead of it. And I'd like to conclude in this part of the show to talk about some of the modern research that has been shown that Ayurvedic practices have benefits, and also some research that's been done on
some of the common, well-known Ayurvedic herbal medications to demonstrate their efficacy, or that they can work in specific situations, and also the challenges of Ayurveda going into the future. So I spoke in the last part of the show about the integration between Ayurveda and Western or conventional medicine in helping manage patients in a holistic, a whole person way. But also there is some new and exciting scientific research that has been done and is being done that supports and demonstrates the effectiveness of the Ayurvedic principles and treatments. And there's a growing body of evidence that is helping Ayurveda gain this legitimacy within, say, the conventional medical community and with the public in general, and acceptance that these ancient systems and teachings and practices have value and have benefits. And these are some of the areas of research that have been discussed, have been made available recently. There's been many clinical trials on ashwagandha, which is one of the most well-known Ayurvedic herbal medications, and showing that it significantly reduces this stress hormone in our bodies called cortisol, and can subjectively improve the symptoms of stress and anxiety. And these research papers and studies are coming from well-known institutions such as Harvard and the University, UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles. So that this has brought more attention to this well-known herb in the Ayurvedic field, and bringing in more into the mainstream field, that it has a benefit and effect in many conditions, particularly with stress reduction. Turmeric as well, of course, we all heard about turmeric and its active compound curcumin, and it's been extensively studied as an anti-inflammatory agent and for its antioxidant properties. Now, remember, in the previous shows, I've spoken about the importance of antioxidants, because they are compounds in our bloodstream that help mop up these free radicals that are connected with the development of cancers. So there, turmeric can be recommended in the Ayurvedic practice for conditions such as certain types of arthritis and different metabolic conditions, and some inflammatory conditions as well. But used, once again, under the direction of an Ayurvedic practitioner, I certainly recommend to take turmeric just, you know, because it has benefits in specific conditions. You need to know if it's appropriate to use for you or not. And also, there's a lot of research and evidence in the fields of yoga and meditation. We know about transcendental meditation from the last part of the 20th century. But yoga as well has been shown to reduce stress, lower blood pressure, obviously improve your flexibility, and give you a new sense of enhanced mental well-being. And many studies have shown the benefits of yoga in different control groups. And of course, the big focus nowadays is on gut health. There are several centers that the Western research is increasingly confirming that Ayurveda has emphasized this for thousands of years, that the gut is central to our overall health. And Ayurvedic dietary practices, such as the use of buttermilk, which has been used for thousands of years in Ayurvedic remedies, and also herbs like triphala, and its positive effect on our gut health. These are gaining attention and gaining more, and people are showing more interest in these and realizing the importance of improving our digestive work and developing a healthy gut, what's called a gut microbiome, or an environment of the balance of the natural bacteria in our gut, and how important they are for our overall digestive health. And I mentioned before the way that Ayurveda could help in cancer care. Some of the Ayurvedic herbs are being used in
integrated practices, specifically in oncology centers in the United States. And they've been shown that they have some benefits in helping the patients with diagnosis of cancer, helping their quality of life. So there's a growing scientific validation, a growing scientific research findings that are helping Ayurveda move from this, what you might call this, traditional system of medicine, are on the edges of the mainstream and moving it towards the mainstream, but the acceptability of Ayurveda as use and the use of it in an integrative way alongside conventional medicine. And this is, I think, one of the really exciting areas in my own practice. I find that it blends, it dovetails well with my previous experience, my previous knowledge, being able to teach and being able to treat it with an Ayurvedic approach. So lastly, just to briefly mention, because it's been covered quite a lot today, there are clearly some challenges that Ayurveda will face in its integration into the West as it gets more and more popular. And these are some key issues that are worth briefly mentioning. This concept of regulation standardization, both of the training of Ayurvedic practitioners, that they are respectful of the history, traditions, and teachings of Ayurveda, and they don't deviate from them in any way. And also in the standardization of the quality control of the herbs that are being recommended and advised. And this is once again where I will state it's so important that you, if you are getting Ayurvedic treatments, that you really see a qualified and accredited Ayurvedic practitioner, much like you would do seeing a doctor, and you would check their background, their resume, their qualifications, because they will be able to access the best quality herbal medications for you. And buying them online is fraught with all kinds of risk and all kinds of issues. And I certainly would feel very concerned recommending, people buying things online or over the counter and health food shops without having the full knowledge of what they're taking. And the other challenge that it faces in some ways, Ayurveda, is that it can be, it's a very deep and a complex system. And sometimes in the West, the principles and the teachings of Ayurveda are not explained as deeply as they should, shall we say. They're kind of glossed over, and Ayurveda is associated with the wellness industry and well-being, which is so popular these days. And this idea of lifestyle medicine, which has its role and place by all means, but I feel that in some way lifestyle medicine, as we teach or explain it in the West, is more like Ayurveda light. It's like a light version of what Ayurveda can offer. And it focuses on very important areas of health as well. But the six pillars of lifestyle medicine are moving towards an Ayurvedic-like teachings and practices, but it's not the full Ayurvedic experience that you can gain when you attend an Ayurvedic practitioner and you have a full and deep and meaningful consultation and assessment, which is really what Ayurveda offers, and as a not just a one fix for a person, but a toolkit for life. And of course, there's the cultural sensitivity, because we have to be aware that Ayurveda has grown and developed in a different part of the world. There are some nuances and explanations that are different from our understanding culturally and historically. But this is something that's it's important to be aware of. But Ayurveda always promotes itself as a universal system. It's not specific for any particular culture, not specific for any particular religion, or for any particular geographic location. It is practiced in many parts of the world without any major problems. So there are so many exciting developments for Ayurveda moving forward. I could talk really for hours about it, but I have a time limit of the show, which is about an hour, just under an hour. And I hope you've enjoyed the little I've spoken about today in terms of Ayurveda. It's historical, a story in the past, how it spread into the West, but more importantly, its increasing popularity and increasing relevance in today's modern world as a holistic, complete system of medicine that can be practiced alongside conventional medicine. And both of them have a synergistic or an additive effect when they're used together. So I hope I'll finish up my last messages, and I hope to see you again next week for another episode.
Tune in again next week for more discussion about Ayurveda. There's always loads to discuss. You can find more information on my website, anamayurveda.com, which is anam spelled A-N-A-M hyphen A-U-R-V-E-D-A.com. Anam is the Irish word for soul. Until then, as we say in Irish, Cree full on, fod seal. Healthy heart, long life. Take care.